Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Kolach Menachem tonight, Shir number 214. I want to first thank everybody for coming, like I do every week. We thank all the people for posting and letting people know about it. It's a place to discuss over a lot of important yonim, the Sichas Chaverim, and Metzum tonight. We should have a lot of good talk and really get some clarity on many yonim. If anybody wants to join our WhatsApp chats, please WhatsApp me at 732-314-1710. I will also send out the community chats link so you can join. You can also go to MenachemBerfel.com and sign up for his email list that he will send you the emails every time there's a new speaker every week and the replays and everything that's going on in Coach Menachem Land. For all the people that are watching this on YouTube, you can click on the like button and you can click on the subscribe button so when Menachem posts the videos every Monday morning, you can get notified and know about it. Again, thank you to all the advertising sponsors, Lakewood Scoop here in Lakewood, Ellie and Ariel, from Watertown Central, and Kyle Kaufman from JCN, for always promoting us on the Jewish digital platforms. All the people that are here the first time, every Sunday night on the Zoom ID, we have different shiurim, different rabbonim, different therapists, different topics. Please join us every Sunday night. Kamat, I'm coming on 5 years, Menachem. Kamat. Tonight's share again, 214. And Hashem next week, December 28th, Sunday, making sure that's right, December 29th, Hashem, there will not be a shiur, there'll be Sunday, Shabbos, weekend, Hanukkah. Hashem, everybody will be with their families, eating latkes, eating donuts, playing dreidel. So we're going to pass on next week's program. And the following week, Hashem, January 5th, 2025, we're going to have an amazing program. Hopefully, not confirmed, maybe Rabbi Yonatan Schwartz, or maybe somebody else, not confirmed, but he's coming on soon. We're working on a lot of other programs. Rabbi YY, Hashem, a few very deep programs, so please join us for next year. It's going to be a lot of powerful stuff. So again, thank you for everybody for coming tonight, and we're going to turn it over to Coach Menachem Bernfeld to tell us.
Want the Gematria first?
Let's go to the Gematria first. Totally forgot. So tonight's shir is shir 214. The Gematria for 214 is Rabbi Yonatan Schwartz. Take it away.
Shalom and bracha, everyone, to Zoom shir number 214. The power of humility. How to influence and inspire our kids. One must realize we are a precious nation and every child is a treasure for the entire Klal Yisrael, which leads us up to tonight's Gematria 214 equals Am Segula, the precious nation.
Okay, for the Gematria, we're going to turn it over to Coach Menachem. Coach Menachem, Erev, Hanukkah, what are we trying to glean tonight from tonight's shir? What's the point? Why are we here tonight?
First, Shkoyach Rav Aronoyach for the Gematria. Very nice. And I want to welcome everyone, all the newcomers. Welcome to another Let's Get Real with Coach Menachem. We're doing class number 214, Baruch Hashem. We have the chus to have Reb Daniel back with us, Mitzvah Hashem. I want to thank all of those that sent feedback after last week's Sunday. It was a very, very interesting topic with Rabbi Katz, talking about the law of attraction from the Torah's perspective, and interesting feedback. I read them all. You know, we always get interested to see where people are. And, yeah, it struck a chord for many, and some this way and some that way, which is okay. You know, it's part of how things work. And we're continuing on this journey to try to figure out, you know, our mission, our tafkid, what Hashem wants from us. And tonight, we have this chus to have the Neil Gladstein. Some people would think, you know, chinuch, okay, fine. No, maybe it's not so interesting. But what I can tell you, Rabbi Gladstein, from listening to his shurim, from hearing other people, the feedback from other people, there's nothing boring. It just gets exciting to listen, so Mitzvah Hashem. The topic of chinuch, it's just interesting. There are different religions that before the kids grow up, they give them like a year to go explore the world, go check it out, and they hopefully they come back and follow their path. And it's an interesting by Yiddishkeit, so there are many people that have the Mesorah, and the way they got the chinuch from their parents, that's the way they want to be mechanuch their kids, which is amazing. And then there are those who just don't want to do it the same way, didn't work out well for them, so they want to figure out a different way how to be mechanuch their kids. And the MS is, there is a Moshe Rabbeinu, when he got married, I think this is, Adonia will help me out with the Mekoris, but it says that he had a sichzef, he had a conversation with a Shver Yisroi of how to be mechanech of their kids. Yisroi claimed that, you know, I've done it all, tried it all, and I realized, I came to the Akara myself, that Hashem hu alekim. And that's the Mahalach. Let them go out, let them grow up, let them figure it out, let them try everything out, and they should realize. Versus you send them to the cheder and there's only one mahalach, only one option, and are we choosing? Am I the way I am because I chose, or this is where they put me, and there's no two ways about it? So it's a very interesting thought to idea. And Mitz Hashem, tonight we're going to be discussing these ideas about chinuch, and I do want to mention Shkoyach Adoniel for the Sefer. And one of the things you write in the Sefer is 13 different sgulas, how to be zoicher to have erlich kinder. And the first one is Arogu B'neir Shabbos V'neir Chanukah. So the first one takes us in Yonah D'Yoyme. I'm sure there's more of Neir Shabbos and Neir Chanukah. And for those who are, you know, Zoicha and we're Rogel with Ner Shabbos and with Ner Chanukah, hopefully, Mitzshem, that's Gula number one, that we should all be Zoicha to have Erev HaKids. And Mitzshem, we'll be able to have a discussion tonight with a lot of Siyata D'Shmaya for those who are struggling or don't know how, trying to figure it out. So Mitzshem, we should, Mitzshem, have a lot of Siyata D'Shmaya and Shkoyach for being with us.
Shkoyach, Rav Nachman, beautiful. Okay, so tonight's year with Rav Daniel Goldstein is, we titled it, How to Influence and Inspire Our Children, The Power of Humility. I'm going to read Rav Goldstein's bio, and then Rav Goldstein will open it up, and the Shem should be questions, and, you know, I'll try to get as much out of Rav Goldstein as possible. Rav and Marda Ashwin Kilos Tferes Mordechai is founder of Mechon Magid Zakar in Cedarhurst, New Jersey. Rav Goldstein is one of the Jewish world's most popular speakers in respect to Magid Shurim. He has more than 10,000 recorded Shurim. I don't know by now what he's up to, but it's, you know, millions of viewers on Torah anytime. He cites rabbidg.com and numerous other platforms. Rabbi Glassman is the author of the series Al Torah and Magid Akara. I'm reading in English, hard to read. As well as numerous best-selling English titles published by Art Scroll. And then we did a share on the Ramea Balanes. And then this book, right, to give the Bonim. And who knows how many other books. Rabbi Daniel, Shkoyach for coming back. We love having you here. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Asher. Thank you, Rabbi Nachum, thank you for the warm introduction. It's always a pleasure to be back here, especially this week, right before Hanukkah. What could be a more appropriate time of the year to speak about chinuch than the week of Hanukkah? The word Hanukkah comes from chinuch, like Rabbi Nachum mentioned, that the Gemara says outright that one who is frequent, one who lights the Ner Chanukah properly will be zoicha to banim tamid chachamim. It's every parent's dream to have erlicha kinderlach, to have God-fearing children, to have children of good character. And this is a very important week for that. And therefore, before we even start to speak about methodology, before we even start to speak about how we go about raising our children, but let's try to take advantage of the mitzvah Haba Aleinu L'Toyva, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Actually, it's really amazing that the Bnei Yisachar, the Pele Yoyetz, both composed special tefillos to say for one's children by the Ner Chanukah. So whether you have access to these tefillos or you want to say a tefillah in your own words, maybe it's a good idea that after your family lights the Ner Chanukah and you sing all the Nagunim, maybe just take a moment to stand by the Lech, to stand by the Ner Chanukah and offer a tefillah that Hashem should bless you, should bless all the Kinderlach in Klal Yisrael, all the families in Klal Yisrael, that we should all be zoicha to see banim uvnei banim oiskim atar b'mitzvais. So I want to begin by speaking about somewhat of a revolutionary and maybe even shocking general approach to chinuch, and really to understand the right relationship we should try to develop with our children in order to be able to give over to them the ideals that we would like to. Look, we all have the same idea. We all want to pass on to our children the ideals of Torah. We all want them to be God-fearing. We all want them to have good character. We want them to be polite. We want them to be courteous. We want them to be menschlich. And we want them to have all the midos that the Torah encourages. But the question is, you know, how are we going to get there? How do we impart that to our children? Not everything we tell them seems to be received and accepted. So what kind of relationship can we develop? What kind of method can we use to, you know, the goal, we know what the goal is. The goal has been the same from the beginning of time. The goal has been the same since Avraham Avinu. But sometimes we need to, so to speak, tweak the approach. And what worked in one generation may or may not work in the next generation. And what worked with your first kid may not work with your second kid. You know, just a general rule when it comes to chinuch, even before I start, Rav Palm said an amazing idea. He said, kids do not care what you say. It's irrelevant what you say. So if you think you're going to come to the Shabbos table, you know, you're going to take out a parsha sheet and read about Lashon Hara, it's almost worthless. They're not listening to the parsha sheet, something you say. They're not even looking at what you do personally. A child will only pick up how you act to that child. So Shimon doesn't care what you say. He doesn't care what you say to Reuven. He doesn't care how you act to Reuven. Shimon only cares how you act to Shimon. That's the rule that Rav Palm once said. But that's not what I want to speak about tonight. I want to take you to Akedas Yitzchak. And the reason I want to take you to that is Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, who's, many consider him not only one of the great Mekubalim today, but one of the great Mashpiim today. And he's a major address for youth at risk, for parents having difficulties with children. And he paints an amazing picture. He says basically, what we ask a kid to do in 2024 is no less than an akedah. I mean, imagine, you tell your kid, Yanki, Rachel, don't look at what they do in the street. Don't look at secular society. Don't look at the billboards. Don't admire the ideals of the secular world. Instead, what we want you to do is forget about the glamour and the glitz of the outside world. We want you to focus on ruchnias. Do you understand what we're telling a kid today? We're telling a kid to give up the glamour of the outside world, to live a world of spirituality, of discipline. Rav Gamliel says, what we ask a child to do today is no less than Akedas Yitzchak. Maybe even more difficult. You know, and now putting it in that light, so let's try to figure out, how did Avraham raise a kid who was willing to do such a thing? You know, we know it was a difficult test for Avraham, but Avraham had to be Mechanech Yitzchak to agree to go to Akedah. So what was the trick? So Gamliel says like this. You know, God says to Avraham, and God tested Avraham. And what does Avraham respond to the request of Hashem? Avraham! And Avraham says one word. Hineni. Behold, here I am. What does Rashi say there? Rashi says the word hineni is a lashon of humility. Humility. So when God asks Avraham, is that you? Are you ready? I'm asking something of you. Avram said, behold, here I am. Rashi says, lashon zimun, v'lashon anava, a lashon of being prepared and a lashon of humility. Okay. We would expect that. After all, Avram is talking to the Almighty. A little while later, Avraham and Yitzchak are both headed toward the Akedah. And Yitzchak gets wind that, you know, something's up. What's going on over here? And Yitzchak says to Avraham, hey Avraham, Tata, is that you? Is that you, Avraham? Is that you, Daddy? Is that you, Tati? And what does Avraham say to Yitzchak? Avraham says to Yitzchak, Hineni, behold, here I am. The same word and expression of humility that Avraham used to God Almighty, Avraham used to his child. Says Ram Gamliel, from here we learn a great principle. The same humility you must have before the master of the universe, you need to have to your children. The same way you would speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam with humility and hachna, you need to speak that way to your children. Says Ram Gamliel, you think it's any wonder that Avraham was zoicha to have a child like Yitzchak, a gadol hadar, a child who was willing to go to the Akedah? It's because Avraham spoke to him with humility. Says Ram Gamliel, you could say whatever you want about raising children, what your parents did, what your grandparents did, what they did in Europe. Says Ram Gamliel, I'm going to tell you the facts. The facts are, in almost every situation, again, I'm not saying my opinion, I'm not a great expert, I'm just telling you what Ram Gamliel taught. In most cases, difficulties that children have growing up in the teenage years and recognizing who they are and so to speak being comfortable in their old skin come from parents being overbearing and speaking to children with authority and demands and not speaking to children with humility. Says Ram Gamliel, if we want our children to pass the test of 2024, we need to follow in the ways of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was zoicha to raise a Yitzchak, to elevate a child, because he valued him. He understood him. He appreciated him. He elevated him. He spoke to him with humility the same way that he spoke to God. And then Gamliel says something, and I'm very hesitant to say it. So it's just between me and you. Don't tell anyone. I don't want anybody making clips of this, you know, Menachem, okay? So nobody has reshus to repeat what I'm saying. If you're listening now, good. It's between me and you. Don't say it. Last night in Lakewood, I heard Gladstein say, you never heard me say it. I never said it. You have no permission to clip it. I don't want any videos going around. I'm just telling you what Ram Gamliel said, and this appeared in the first edition of the Sefer, and then in the next edition of the Sefer, they took it out. And I think the reason they took it out is, I don't think you're even allowed to say this. Okay? It's a shtickle. It's heretical, okay? You can't say this. And I'm not saying it, I'm just saying what you can't say. But he says it, and then they took it out. So I'm telling you what was said and then taken out. But so take it with many grains of sand, but you need to hear it anyway. Ram Gamliel said that his mother would say, and again, I would never say this, I don't even think you're allowed to say this, but his mother would say, if the Torah was written today, in that expression alone, you're not allowed to say that. But she said, if it was, it wouldn't say honor your father and mother, it would say honor your son and daughter. And again, you're not allowed to say that. And that's why they took it out of the Sefer. And I never said it, and you never heard me say that. But the point being is that if you want to have a fighting shot of raising children who can stand up to the tests of the Ikvas HaDa Mashiacha, of the test, the allure of the secular world, the allure of American society, they need to feel that you value them, that you appreciate them, that you understand them, and you're speaking to them not as an authority, but as a friend. And this is a very important yisoid. And it's not my yisoid. I'm going to share with you now a fundamental principle that's found in Rashi's throughout Kol HaTorah Kula. I'm going to give you a few examples. We're coming up next week's Parsha, not Miketz Vayigash. You know, and the brothers are standing in front of Yosef, and Yosef reveals himself. And the brothers are dumbfounded. They don't know what to say. The brothers are they can't get a word out of their mouth. And Yosef says, don't sweat it. Don't worry. Don't worry. You didn't send me here. God sent me here. Vayisimeni le'av leparoi. God made me a father to Pharaoh. Says Rashi, what did Yosef mean that God made him a father to Paroi? God didn't make Yosef a father. Yosef was second in command. Says Rashi, le'av. Rashi's defining the word av. If I were to ask you, define what does it mean to be a parent? So many people say a parent is a teacher, a mentor, a guide, a role model. Wrong, 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 wrong. A parent is not a teacher, is not a guide. Yes, that's what they should do, but that's not the definition. What's the definition? Look at Rashi. By the way, Rashi was an Orthodox rabbi. Did you know that? Rashi was an Orthodox rabbi. Says Rashi, le'av lechaver u'lepatrein. A friend and a supporter. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, also another Orthodox rabbi, says Rav Shimon Schwab, from here we learn, from these simple comments of Rashi, we learn the definition of a parent is a friend. And the barometer of how good of a job we're doing as a parent is, are we our children's best friend in the world? Okay? Now, says Rav Schwab, we don't even have to look at Rashi. It's a pasuk in Chumash. You know, the Torah tells us about the most severe aver in the Torah. Do you know what the most severe aver in the Torah is? It's called a mesis, someone who seduces another to serve Avodah Zarah. And it says it doesn't matter who seduces you. We're not going to have any mercy on them. They could be your child. They could be your brother. They could be your aunt. Or oireacha asher kenafshecha, or your soul friend. You know, there's someone in this world that's reacha asher kenafshecha, your soul friend. Who's your soul friend? Rashi, ze avicha, your dad, your mom, your father, your mother, your tati, your mommy is reacha asher kenafshecha. Give you one more example. You know, in last week, Yaakov Avinu was running away from Lavan, and it says he called Vayikru Le'echav, he called his brothers. He says, hey, brothers, gather the stones. So Rashi's brother, what do you mean brothers? Yaakov doesn't have brothers. Rashi says, brothers, Zubanav, his children. Says the Chida, from here we learn that if you want to have peace in your house, you need to treat your children like they're your brothers. Uvezeh yu sheketim v'sha'ananim. Where do we learn this from? Yaakov Avinu, says the Chida. By the way, the Chida says your older children. Older children means, I don't know, teenagers, young adults. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds. But the point being is that even though it sounds like a revolutionary idea and a new idea and a modern idea, but this is coming from Rashi. This is coming from the Chida. This is coming from Rav Shimon Schwab. This is coming from the simple reading of Psukim and Chumash. That the Torah's definition of parenting is, are you your child's best friend in the world? And in that context, if your children feel your friendship, then you will be successful in being a teacher, a role model, a guide, and a mentor. But as an authority figure, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'll just share with you one last thing. In the writings of the son of the Chafetz Chaim, he says that when he and his father, the Chafetz Chaim, would walk on the street, people didn't know they were father and son. They thought they were brothers. That's how the Chafetz Chaim treated them. By the way, the Chafetz Chaim was also an Orthodox rabbi. Okay? So this is all Mesoras Aviseinu. This is not, you know, you'll hear a lot of classes about parenting. And they're valuable, especially if they're coming from people with experience. But what I'm sharing with you is not only experience. This is Mesoras Aviseinu. This is what our Torah teaches us. So it's always important to know, you know, it's worthwhile to hear experts. It's worthwhile to hear specialists. But it's important that the teachings and principles are rooted in Torah Seinu HaKadosha. And this idea that may sound revolutionary, and I know I've said it to audiences, and people sometimes say, well, that's not how they did it in the old generation. Whether that is true or not, some would say, you know, the good parents even were always their children's best friend. But certainly in our times, this not only is Mesoras Aviseinu, but this is also what works in reality. Yeah, is that my opening piece? Okay.
Perfect, Daniel. Beautiful. Okay. A lot to talk about tonight. We're going to get clarity on this. Let's start with the poll. And after the polls, we will take a live question. Anybody has a question, please send it to Asher Parnas over here. Remember, the live questions go first. It's supposed to have Rabbi Daniel here. So please ask him away anything. Here we go. Let's do the polls first. Okay, the first question. In your opinion, what makes parents most influential? Like, in your opinion, like, what do you think influences the kids the most from the parents' point? A, demonstrating humility and respect. B, consistently setting clear boundaries. C, being a role model for values and actions. Or D, showing unconditional love and support. This is your opinion, what you think. Number two, which aspect of parenting do you find the hardest? The third question is similar to the second question, but it's a little bit of different answers are focusing on different things. So again, the second question, which aspect of parenting do you find the hardest? A, avoiding mistakes, admitting mistakes to my children. B, listening without judgment. C, letting go of the need to always be right. Or D, treating my children as individuals with their own needs and opinions. Third question, what are your biggest challenges in parenting? Is focusing on the other part, is staying patient and managing my emotions, communicating effectively with my child, C, balancing authority with empathy, and D, admitting mistakes and practicing humility. Those are the three questions. Answer it, and then we will review it. Okay, 5 more seconds. Okay, here we go. Let's share it, everybody. Okay, the first question. In your opinion, what makes a parent most influential? 14% say demonstrating humility and respect. 4% consistently setting clear boundaries. The number one answer of Daniel, people are saying being a role model for values and actions. Most people feel that when we daven properly and we're Eloch, that's what really makes the most influence on our kids. 38% of people showing unconditional love and support.
Good. I'm happy most people did not say the point that I came here to say is the most important point. Otherwise, I wouldn't need to be here tonight. Right. Yes, instinctively, the knee-jerk, the most people would say, be a role model, and they'll pick up the values of the parents. That's definitely true. Children want to pick up the values and actions of the parents. However, there is a precondition, and the precondition is before a child could pick up your values, they have to feel you value them. So it's impossible. As much as a child would like to learn and daven and act like a parent, if they don't feel the self-worth that the parent instills in them by showing them respect and humility, something will get lost in the transition. That's what Rav Gamliel is teaching. That's what we see from the words of Chazal. So yes, Vishinantam Levanecha, if it is only applicable if it's Alevavecha, but even more basic is that they need to see that you value them.
Number two, which aspect of parenting do you find the hardest? 9% admitting mistakes to my children. 44% of people find that this is the hardest aspect of parenting for them. Listening without judgment. 70% letting go of the need to always be right. 30% treating my children as individuals with their own needs and options. So number one by far is listening without judgment. People have a very hard time with this, Rabbi Daniel. And number two, treating my children as individuals with their own needs and options.
Yeah. Well, look, the idea of judgment is also, it's very popular to say that we need to listen without judgment, but let's pass on that one because it's a little bit of a different topic, okay?
Okay, let's go to the last question. What are your biggest challenges in parenting? 46% of people, most people say staying patient and managing their own emotions. 23% of people communicating effectively with my child. 26% balancing authority with empathy. 4% admitting mistakes and practicing humility. So, yeah, that's pretty
staying
telling.
Patient, managing emotion. That seems to be the most challenging. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, we can understand that. You know, that's certainly one of the biggest challenges in life in general, not only with our children, but in any situation in life, to, so to speak, stay balanced, stay in check, and to be able to be level-headed and rational and not be affected by swing of emotion.
Okay, so we'll go to the first question. Let me see what they sent in. Here we go. So the way they read it, it was before they heard your speech. Let's see. It's sad that in today's generation, we're told to meet our kids on their level. Why is it that as parents, we're expected to lower ourselves to where they are? Is that really what chinuch is supposed to be? Shouldn't our children be looking up to us as role models instead?
That's a very important question. And, you know, I understand why somebody may feel that it's demeaning, so to speak, for the parent to have to lower themselves to the child. But this is really the point we're trying to make. One should not feel that it's demeaning to lower themselves to a child. That is exactly what chinuch is. That is what Hashem does to us. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. God descended on Mount Sinai to give the Torah to the Jewish people. We have to speak to our children and deal with our children lefi madrigasam, according to their level and according to their level of understanding and according to their capability and according to their hasaga. And that's the honor of a parent. The moment a parent says that it's not sad to have to lower yourself to your child, that's the great gift that God gave you because he's allowing you to emulate him. And if you're able to lower yourself, we lower ourselves to our children in order to raise them up. But if we're going to expect them to look up to us, it may be too far of a vision for them to see all the way up. That's our responsibility. That's what works. That's not sad at all. That's the effective means of chinuch habanim.
I think we have to discuss why it's hard for people to hear. Why, I guess it's a new concept, you know, and you mentioned also, it's not something that you would say the first few years, obviously. And over there, you know, you do have to have boundaries. And even when they're older, I think it's hard for people to learn how to implement the idea. It makes sense, but then you have a kid that wants to do A, B, and C, and you don't think it's a good idea. And, you know, that's where the struggle starts. You want to be on their level, you want to be their friend, but at the end of the day, you have to tell them no. So I think it's hard to figure out how to do it.
Now look, when a child sees that the parents recognize them for who they are, what their individual needs are, what their individual inclinations are, who they are as a person, then the child is willing to sometimes be machnia to the parent, because even a good friend is not somebody that you have good conversations with. A good friend is somebody who could steer you right as well. I mean, what is a good friend? A good friend is someone who gives good advice. A good friend is someone who you're comfortable speaking to. A good friend could tell you, hey, Yankee, you know, this, stay away from that. This is not good for you. But the first thing is, the parent has to show the kid that they know who he is. And I want to sort of segue into another important aspect. And another just very important Rashi. And look, I personally like to emphasize how these ideas are rooted in the Torah. Everybody knows with Yaakov and Esav, you know, how in the world do you have two kids that come from the same household and the same father and mother, and one of them becomes the Gadol Adar? He's on Mayetzes Gedolei HaTorah. He's, you know, he's speaking at the Matzah Shabbos at the Agudah Convention. And the other guy's a, you know, mass murderer. How did two parents produce this, these two kids? You know, if you look carefully at the words of Rashi, Rashi says that when they were young, nobody recognized their personality. And then all of a sudden they grew up and Yaakov went to the Beis Medrash and Esav became a wicked person. Rav Shamshon Falhirsch says what Rashi means to say is that not that nobody recognized, nobody put in the effort to recognize the unique character of Yaakov and Esav. Meaning, the Rav Shamshon Falhirsch learns that Rashi and Chazal are criticizing, and we don't have the authority to, heaven forbid, criticize the Avos, but the Rav Shamshon Falhirsch understands Rashi is uncovering a critique on Yitzchak and Rivka, that they didn't try to understand who Esav was. They thought the same way you could send Yaakov to the yeshiva and he's going to sit and learn, you could send Esav to the same yeshiva and he'll do the same thing. Rosh Hashanah Lahir says what happened to Esav is that the parents gave Esav the same chinuch that they gave Yaakov. They said, if yeshiva A worked for Yaakov, then let's send Esav to that yeshiva. After all, if you send two kids to the same yeshiva, they'll give you a bigger tuition break, and carpool will be easier, and the friends will be easier, and Shabbos play dates will be easier. And they made a mistake. Shaul Schoenfelder says that when Esav saw that his parents stuffed him into the same classroom and the same style of chinuch that they gave Yaakov, Esav said, I don't want to sit and learn. I can't be in a base medrash all day. And I'm going to be forced to be in a study hall the same day like my brother. I'm out of here. I'm not interested. The critique of on Yitzchak and Rivka was they didn't try to understand Esav is a different guy than Yaakov was. Esav is a man of the outside world. They needed to harness the individual character of Esav and bring out his potential. So one of the critical pieces of advice for parents is that a child needs to feel that you understand their unique qualities. You understand they're not studious, but they're artistic. Maybe they're not studious, but they're musical. That the parent has an eye out to understand who is my child. That's part of the friendship aspect, where you want to understand the unique qualities, where the child recognizes that you are putting in effort to understand who they are, uniquely different than the other children in the family. So this is not sad. I wouldn't say this is sad. This is a privilege. This is the privilege that a parent is entrusted with.
Rabbi Daniel, there's a lot of live questions, so let's go through a lot of questions.
Sure.
Hi, I'm you. Hi, how are you?
Hi, hi, Baruch Hashem. I have a question.
Sure.
I understand what you say about being more friends to your children. I understand on an emotional level.
Right.
But if you were taught that the relationship with the parents is the same relationship we should have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are not friends to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are servants. We are his children, but we are not friends. And also...
Time out. Let me just address that. We are servants. We are children. And we are friends. We are friends. Every Shabbos by Shalosh Shudos, the climax of our relationship with Hashem, after talking about that we're Hashem's our melech, and after saying Hashem's our father, and after saying Hashem's our husband, we sing, Yedid Nefesh, my best friend. The Ribbono Shel Olam allows us to say he's our friend. That means we have Yedidus with Hashem. When the Gemara tells us in Menachos, when Avram Avinu came into the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem says, my Yedidi Babais, what's my friend doing here? I didn't mention this before, the Chida, in all of his writings to his son, he always says to his son, Avram, Yedid Nafshi.
The way mm-hmm. that we are taught how to have derech eretz to our parents,
mm-hmm.
It's by not sitting in their chair, stand up when they come to the room. It's a lot of, the relationship is more of authority. It's not of a friend. Everything that says about the derech eretz, all the learnings that you do about the derech eretz, it doesn't show anything about it. And that's what we are taught by our chazal, by our sages. So how can you all of a sudden in this generation we say, oops, forget about it. You can sit in my chair. Forget about it. You know, you don't need to stand up anymore. Like, you're my friend. You don't have to listen to me as an authority. I think what they say, it was like more of a, you have to also have fear. The same fear we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to fear your parents.
I understand. There's definitely, according to Torah law, there's kavod. You know, you bring a child, you bring a parent food, you bring a parent drink. You bring a parent clothing, that's kavod. There's yira. You don't sit in their chair. You don't contradict their words. But, if a father chooses to forgo his honor, av shemachla kvoidai, kvoidai machal. If a father tells a kid, you could sit in my chair,
the kid Kol halashon.
If the father tells the kid that it's okay, you could do that, then the father could overlook his honor. So, in our generation, we have very strong precedent that the focus needs to be on cultivating the friendship. And if you do that, your children will be much more likely not to sit in the chair and not to contradict your words than if you act like an authority figure. The Chafetz Chaim's son writes that kavod for our father we had a little bit, and yirah for our father we didn't have at all. You could look in Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim, where his son said our father, the Chafetz Chaim, was not makbid on yirah at all. Now that was 100 years ago. And you could be sure that if that's how the Chafetz Chaim dealt with his children, that in our time, it's probably not, it didn't change that much, if anything. So I understand what you're saying. There are certain parameters. Right, of,
people are asking, like, Thomas Chafetz Chaim, the bottom line, I mean, even until recently, the royal generations, even our generation, we were brought up with a more stronger chenach. Not with this, like, lovey-dovey, let's be a best friend type of chenach.
No, so I'm not lovey-dovey over here. I'm talking about the context of how you could influence children, specifically older children, teenagers, young adults. Whether this was done in previous generations or not, that's for, you know, you to do your own research. If, in reality, if you want to be successful,
that's what the generation is holding, because we're seeing that the pushback is so strong these days.
No, this is not out of weakness. I'm not saying to give in to your children out of weakness because they're not listening to you, so you know you have no choice but to curry favor with them. And I'm not talking about currying favor. And I'm not talking about not telling them what to do. You know, sometimes a parent wants to know, well, I'm afraid to tell this to my child. Why are you afraid? If you're really their friend, you should have no problem at all telling it to them. The same way if you had a good friend, You could speak your mind. There's nothing wrong with a parent speaking their mind to a children. Obviously you have to pick your battles. But what I'm talking about is in what type of context and what kind of will you in reality be successful in influencing your children? You could choose to, so to speak, take the Shulchan Aruch and then sort of model your relationship based on that. But in reality, what the Gedolei Yisrael have showed over the last many generations is that's not the relationship that the Torah would recommend that we cultivate. In a relationship of friendship, a child is more likely to have genuine yira and kavod. You know, the question is, if your kid has something on their mind, are they gonna tell you, are you gonna be the first for them to share it with, or do they have some friend down the block that they're going to share that with? If they have people in their life that they are closer to than you, then you are not fulfilling your role as a parent in its fullest sense.
Okay, Rabbi Daniel, let's go to the next question, okay?
Sure, yeah.
Hi.
How are you? Shalom Aleichem.
I have to unmute. There. Hi.
Hi. Okay, so my question is like this. So I grew up, like most did, respecting our parents and having strict parents, like a strict home. And now all of a sudden we need to be so ready for our kids and not take anything from them but to give them. And I want to know how we could do it, how we could stay strong with that. Like, we didn't get, and here we need to give and give and give. But like, I feel like so empty, and all of a sudden I need to be ready to always be, like, friendly, calm, accepting, and whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, I just want to rephrase something, even though many people say, so we suddenly. You know, Rashi lived 1,000 years ago. You know, this is... what I would call Jewish parenting from time immemorial. The Chida lived 200 years ago. The Chafetz Chaim lived 100 years ago. So, look, maybe people grew up in difficulty and in poverty and in persecution, and that may have affected people's mindset and people's relationships. That could be. But this is, I'm not sharing with you a new idea. I'm not sharing with you an innovative idea. This is not a revolutionary idea. This is classic, traditional Jewish parenting, al pi mesaras avoseinu. In that context, and I just want to rephrase something also. When you say you grew up with respect for a parent, our goal is that our children should also grow up with respect for their parents, and they should not sit in our seat, and they should not contradict our words. But you need to have a friendship with them. So if your kid likes to play the guitar, or your kid likes to play baseball, you need to be the one doing that with them as their best friend. And if you're able to do that, then it is more likely they will have genuine respect and even what we call reverence for you. If you could get down on the floor and play Lego with them, because that's what the kid likes, then he could have healthy respect for you. But as an authority figure, it don't work.
You just have to relearn. Many people have to relearn because you're right, it's coming from many years ago, but because of what we saw from our parents, and, you know, they, by them it was Yira, and maybe only Yira. So now when we're trying to, you know, clarify what's the real Mahalach, so a lot of people need help just figuring out how to do that. So I think that's where a lot of people have a hard time.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I understand the challenge of adjusting the, you wouldn't have expected that this would be the traditional approach to Jewish parenting. You know, you would think, okay, the Gedolim said that, you know, we have to be an authority and we have to say it as it is and we have to reprimand. But what could we do? You know, our generation can't handle it. That's not what I'm here to say. I'm not saying that this is a product of our weak generation. I am sharing what I think is the ideal mahalach in chinuch habanim al pi mesaras avoseinu.
Right. But I'm just seeing why people are having such a hard time.
I mean, I'm personally familiar with the great Rosh Hashiva who always says that he grew up, that his mother was his best friend. He unabashedly always talks about that. You know, we're talking about one of the real experts and teachers of chinuch of our time. So, you know, this is not a new idea.
I think we should talk about that a little bit of how to, and it really starts from day one. It starts from day one, your relationship with your child when they're younger, you know, to be there for them, listen to them, and eventually they grow up, you're there, you're not learning something new. That's number one. And another thing I'm thinking is when people have their own triggers and their own emotions that we discussed before, that many times their kids would bring up stuff that they can't listen to. You know, we don't talk about this. No, it doesn't work. You know, they're used to talking that way because that's the way they grew up. So that's where they'll need some adjustment. But here's a question that somebody sent in. I feel like no matter what I do, I'm not really connected with my kids. Does it even make a difference? Or will they just figure it out on their own?
Well, no, it's our responsibility that they don't figure it out on their own and that we figure out how to, a way to connect with them. And that's why we really do have to try to lower ourselves. You know, we have to find out what is our kid interested in? You know, what's he doing in his free time? What are they involved in? What do they like to talk about? What are their interests? What are their inclinations? Do we cultivate that? Do we say, well, I noticed that you're at the Shabbos table, you're bringing a book to the table. Now you don't like when they bring a book to the table, but you sort of observe, oh, they're reading about this subject. Oh, you like about that. You want me to get you a book about that? Or, you know, let's discuss that. It's very important that a kid feels that the parent recognizes their unique ability, talents, creativity, and so forth. That's That's a major principle in parenting.
So let's just play it out. When you have, you're talking about general relationship, but what happens when you have a conflict or something that they're doing that you don't approve of? Is it the same, like, friendly, like, oh, I don't think it's a good idea that you're coming home at 3 in the morning? Or it's more like, no, you got to be home at 12 o'clock be more clear what we're talking about versus, like, you're saying in a very general sense.
Again, right now we're talking about what we call healthy parenting, right? We're talking about what's the ideal relationship you should try to cultivate with your child. Ideally, if you're able to cultivate such a relationship, so the level of conflict is minimized because, you know, you're on the same page. You want to know you didn't do this and you have a rocky and rough relationship with your kid. So now how do you resolve that? You know, so you're sort of coming after the fact. But, you know, the background over here is what is the proper way to cultivate this relationship so you don't have these, so to speak, acute conflicts to begin with. Once you do, so obviously the best way to resolve it is to explain to them like you would explain to, you would explain to any child, to any friend. You know, you explain to them in a calm, rational manner. You know, I don't think this is a good idea. This is not good for you. This is not gonna help you be successful in life. This is not gonna be good for your future, like you would to any friend. Obviously, there's certain kind of, so to speak, dangerous type of behavior that might require a different reaction. But here we're not talking about conflict resolution. We're talking about how to cultivate the ideal relationship in the first place to limit conflict.
You basically, let's just clarify, you're talking about this is the ideal relationship that we're always brought up with the parents is the authoritative power, and this is you respect your father, keep the aim, and this is the way we do it, da-da. More with a more gentle, friendly, like wanting to be, as long as both parties, the father and the son and the mother and the daughter are in that.
Yeah, but more than just more like a friendly relationship, a friendly relationship. It doesn't work to say, well, you know, this is what we did. This is how it's done. Take it or leave it. No, I'm saying not like that. That doesn't work. The definition of parent, according to the Torah, is a relationship of friendship.
The question is when the typical teen starts being teenagerish, or he starts going worse than teenagerish, and he's not in a good place. Mm-hmm. How does that play out when you can't be so friendly?
Well, that's when they say Kashanavshi gives them all the love. But we're not, okay. We lost it already.
You know, what Ram Gamliel is teaching, right, and this is what he says that he finds that in the vast majority of cases, not all cases, it's because this relationship was not cultivated to begin with. You know, you're asking, well, what happens if, well, then this was not cultivated. If this would be cultivated, this so to speak, this type of framework for parenting ensures that the conflict level is to a minimum. You know, you don't have this. You won't, you know, it doesn't mean you'll never have this, but this type of, framework would be the, so to speak, the security net to ensure that, conflict level and challenge level is to a minimum.
So he's basically saying that when the child throws a tantrum when they're 2 years old, that's where we have to make sure that we don't put up that wall is, this is what we do, and this is what you're going to listen to, because if not, you know what's going to happen, and then you become an authority, and then the next 25 years, you're the authority. So it's really a learning healthy relationship with those children when they're very young, how to stay there when they tantrum, and you shouldn't lose it, being able to understand, hold their hands, that you should be able to get to a place where they will feel that you understand them and they can listen. So it's really like beginners.
Yes. The, you know, to be truthful, the Chida does say that this level of friendship is much more vital when the children are older. Again, we don't have a precise age. I don't know that it's an exact science. You know, when they turn 11, when they turn 12, you know, you have to...
The relationship has to be there from day one. Meaning,
yeah, absolutely. The relationship has to be there about day one, yeah.
Okay, let's put on the next caller. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So I have two questions. Number one, I understand and I agree that it's very important to, you know, enjoy your kids and, you know, have good times with them.
This is not about enjoying your kids and having good times with them.
No, I mean like doing, like, you know, like you said, like sharing interests with them, right? Like building.
That's
right?
Just an example, but the point is that's a reflection of the relationship we're looking to cultivate. I'm sorry to cut you off, and I do want to say, you know, I gave a 10-minute soliloquy about parenting. There's an entire book over here. That was one chapter. So, you know, we're basically zooming in and honing in on one aspect of parenting. There's an entire body of things to focus on and pointers and ideologies. This was one of many things. So it's not only about this, but this is an important cog. So I just, you know, wanted to mention.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I wanted to know, like, you know, as a parent, it's, you know, we're exhausted, you know, so I'm just wondering, like, how often is it important to, you know, to give that to your children? Is once a week enough? Does it have to be every week? Does it have to be more than once? Like, I mean, let's say one evening. I don't mean like 5 minutes of your once a week, but how much time can you say should be given to, you know, each of your children?
Rav Daniel, that just shows you why it's so hard for parents to actually get to that place. We're working two jobs. We're out the door. There's so much going on. We don't have time for them.
Yeah.
I don't have that relationship with my child. I just can't. And then we have six. Each one is different.
I wouldn't say that I don't have that relationship. Baruch Hashem, I feel that I do, but some weeks are just heavy weeks where you're out a lot in the evening and, you know, okay, so you have two evenings of the week that you're finally at home. Like, is that enough, do I need to avoid weddings?
It's not like a lulav and esrog. You have to pick it up and shake it X amount of times, and then it's, are we giving the child the feeling that we get them, that we understand them? And when you give that over, then if you're busy 1 week, but he knows you get him, he understands, because he also is sometimes busy. The point is, does the kid recognize, does the kid see that you dig them? You know who they are. You appreciate them. You value them. You recognize that you know them. And then if they get that message, then it doesn't have to be every day. You know, by the way, I will share with you an amazing Chafetz Chaim. You know, the Chafetz Chaim says that the same way we have a mitzvah to be koiveya itim la Torah. You have to learn every morning, every night. He says you need to be koiveya itim every day to make sure that your children's needs are addressed. There's a mitzvah of kevios itim for your children. So, which means you have to make sure they're davening properly and they're learning properly and their needs are met and you're giving them the proper attention. So
I have another part of the question. I have a 16-year-old son who's in a dorm, and it's local. The reason why he's in the dorm is because he has a lot of sisters and a lot of girly stuff going on. So, you know, together with the Hanhala, we decided that, you know, it would be best for him to be in the dorm. Now, lately I started feeling like he comes home Shabbos. He spends, a little time by the Suda. Then he runs out to Tish. Comes home Shabbos morning, spends some time by the Suda, sits around a little reading, and then leaves to Mincha. So, like, I just feel like the connection with the family, it's like, it's kind of diminishing. And I feel even with myself, I really don't have that much time with him. When do I get to sit and talk and hear what's going on in his life? So I suggested to him that maybe he should spend one night a week at home. So he's like, I hear you, but I don't think it's important. I'm telling you, I'm good. So, what do you think?
How he's 16 years old, and he said it's in a Hasidic yeshiva. I didn't catch all the details.
Yeah, here in Borough Park.
Look, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be every week, but maybe you could say, you know, I'm coming over today. Should I take you out for lunch? You know, maybe we could grab a bite to eat, just chop a shmooze for a little bit. I want to hear how it's going in yeshiva. You know, what are you up to? How's the learning going? What do you do during the break? Who are you friendly with? Even doing that, you know, once a month could have a very, big roshim, because he sees that you're making the effort to continue to spend time with him, to continue to try to understand how he's developing, who he is. Again,
yeah,
I don't think most parents are able to do that. So, you know, to do that even, you know, semi-occasionally could go a long way.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily, but there needs to be a little bit of that. I'm saying, like, I feel like the way it is right now, I hardly ever get, like, you know, if he's not in the mood of talking on that little bit of Shabbos that I see him.
Well, yeah, usually teenagers, they have a knack for not answering, giving any information. Like, if you ask, how's yeshiva? Good.
Right. You know? I have another one who loved to talk. Like, he would come over to me and say, Ma, can I talk to you? This one is like, he hasn't, you know, yeah, everything's good. Well, I'm telling you, everything's fine. And then I just feel like, but I don't know what's really going on. And I don't know what's happening inside of him. You know what I mean? So I feel like there needs to be some time. Even once you sit down with a child to talk, it doesn't happen in those first 5 minutes necessarily. It takes time for them to finally just start opening up. You know? So. Yeah,
so. If
just a half hour lunch is not necessarily going to reveal much of what's going on inside of him. You know what I'm saying?
But it could be very powerful just that he sees that the interest level, the effort you made, the care you showed, that could go a long way. So even if he has a hard time opening up, and even if he's not going to tell you much, the concern that you show bolsters him. It gives him chizuk. It gives him support.
The same way we are sitting here, and for many of us, it's a new concept. For our teenagers, it's for sure going to be a new concept. Many of them would love it, but others would say, what happened? You listen to a share from Rabbi Gladstein? Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Because before I go to the next question, Rabbi Daniel, somebody just pointed out to me, if I could repeat it, like we had Rabbi Russell, who we did one program with him, one of the programs about, he said basically his general concept was like, the kid from 0 to 2, it's basically unconditional love. No matter what they do, right? They spill milk on the floor, I love you, you're cute, Googa Gaga, right?
Okay.
And then from 2 to 10, 11, 12, it's basically don't go here, go to sleep. It's not friendly. It's very like robotic type of chinuch. Like you have to go to sleep. You have to take a bath. It's very like telling them what to do because they're little kids. And then he basically said, again, there's no specific age, but when a time and a kid has their own self there, then we have to, as parents, realize to step it back from the telling them what to do and being in a control of authority state to more of like what you're saying, more like just being, having that close relationship. It's like learning how to change, because as from 2 to let's say 12, naturally, that's the way we are, mechanicha kids. We're not like friendly. We're cute with them. We have good time with them.
That's exactly where we shouldn't lose it.
I don't know. I mean, I'm
your 3 year old. Your 3 year old when it's 6 o'clock. What's for my 7 year old tonight? It's 6:30. You have to go to bed. Do
yeah,
you
but make sure that you spend enough time in that day that he knows you love him.
I would argue that if you have a 6 year old and it's getting late, you say, Stamazoy, if you say, go to sleep, and he's gonna say no, and he's gonna scream louder, go to sleep, he's just gonna put up more, the more pressure he puts back. You say, oh, you wanna play a little bit more? Okay, you're gonna play for a few more minutes, but you're so tired, Chafel, alright? So I'm gonna play with you for a few more minutes, and then we're gonna go to sleep. And you'll see how much more effective that is. Because first of all, the kid sees you're giving into him. And the kid sees that you understand he wants to play more. And you're not putting such pressure that he's going to put pressure back. And even it's an opportunity to show understanding. And even to a little kid, that would probably be much more effective than just the regular authoritative approach. Sometimes you're going to have to. Sometimes you're going to be dead tired. You know, parents have to understand that if they're not perfect, their kids will be resilient enough that they'll get over normal, human shortcoming. You know, many parents think that, oh, well, I'm not perfect, so I'm going to be terrible. It's okay, you know, if you don't do everything you hear in every single class. Kids are resilient enough. But I would argue, even smaller kids, there's still room for authority of friendship than just authority of dictatorship.
Thing, but again, the point also that there's time frames, right? That things change.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it's so drastic. 2 to 10, and then all of a sudden, now you know you become a. I would think it's much more gradual than that.
Right. Okay. Okay, let's go to the next live question. Hi.
Hi, Shalom Aleichem.
Yeah, hello, it's me.
Yes.
Hello. Well, first of all, I love the topic, and it's so close to my heart because having been a highly sensitive child, you know, it's something that I have to deal with a lot, not having been given, you know, exactly what I needed, obviously. But I also want to make a comment from the other questions that I heard. A lot of us, many of us, more, you know, maybe more in specific communities, specific families, but many of us were told and given the job to run holding weights before we were taught how to walk, right? So I just want to make this awareness and tell all the women here that we're doing the impossible. We're really, really such great mothers. We make a lot of mistakes. We've made a lot of mistakes. We did more than the best with the tools we have. And of course, we're getting even better every day. But we need to really, really validate ourselves and realize that we are doing almost the impossible because we care for our children and we really want to be good mothers. And we're learning the tools we were never given. So I just want to give a shout out to all the mothers. We're really amazing. Okay.
Given for the not amazing mother.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that. Thank you
for sharing that.
Thank you. Okay. Somebody sent in this question, Rabbi Gladstein.
Yeah.
How do we figure out chinuch in today's world? On one hand, we can't deny our kids the things that their friends and neighbors have, or they feel deprived. On the other hand, kids have access these days is beyond comprehension. And it's clear how much it could harm them. How do we strike the right balance? It's a very, very important question. Like, right, it's going a little bit into a different topic, but the point is, we're trying to be mechanech kids, we're trying to be there. On one hand, a lot of kids, you know, whatever you want to focus on, the vacations or the devices or whatever it is that they have, and you want to give it to them. On the other hand, by giving to them, it causes other problems. How do we deal with this issue?
Look, you don't want a kid to feel deprived, but just because other kids have something doesn't mean they have to have it. If they feel that you have their best interests in mind, if they feel that you are their best friend in the world, if they feel that you recognize them and you value them and that you appreciate them, you will have a much easier time telling them, Yanki, Rachel, this is not good for you. I don't care that this guy has it and that guy has it. You know, their parents gave in to them because they were weak. They just gave it to them. They don't have a real relationship with their kid. But I'm telling you, I know it's good for you. Not because I'm your master, I'm your dictator, I'm your older friend, you know. You'll have an easier time. You know, but obviously that's the challenge of the generation. That's the point that Ren Gamliel was making. If you want, you have a kid like Yitzchak who's willing to sacrifice and go to the Akedah of 2025, you better speak to them, the Lashon Anivos. I mean, that's how we started, really. You know, what we ask our kids today, not don't have that device, don't go there, just because everyone's doing that, everyone has that, everyone looks at that, but not for you, this is not good for you. The only way to do that is Hineni, that humility that Avram Avinu showed to Yitzchak, equipped him, you know. Yitzchak said, hey, I don't understand. My friend down the block, his father's not bringing him to the Akedah. You know, why me? Well, he was able to do that because the way Avram spoke to him was Belashon Hineni. Avram said, look, I value you. I believe in you. I want to share with you a thought just from last week. Everybody, you know, there's a... the Vayimayin movement, the Vayimayin. Just a, I think a very powerful thought that, you know, Yosef was able to overcome the impossible. I mean, he's down in Egypt. He's a young man. He's a handsome man. Nobody's there. There are no Jews in sight. There are no cameras. Nobody would know either way. And somehow he's able to overcome the challenge. Vayimayin. You know, how did he do it? How did he do it? Because his father was Vayimayin lehisnachim. His father refused to give up on his son. His father refused to believe that the kid was down and out. The father refused to think that he'll never see his kid again. The parent that believes in their kid, the parent that refuses to give up on the kid, the parent who values the kid, that kid will refuse the challenges of life. And by the way, it reverberates many generations later. You'll see at the end of Sefer Bereishis, when Yosef brings his two kids to Yaakov Avinu, to Menashe and Ephraim, and Yosef wants to position them because he doesn't think that the older kid is as good as the younger kid, and he sees into the future. Maybe some people are not worthy. Yaakov said, "Vayimoin." Yaakov said, "I refuse to look at it that way. I refuse to give up on my grandchildren. I don't care who you think Menashe's grandchildren are going to be. I refuse to believe that my descendants won't be successful." And a father and a grandfather who infuses that belief in their children will conquer the world. Their children will be able to overcome any challenge. So obviously it's difficult telling a kid, you know, you can't have that. But, you know, that's the principle that we're learning. That's how Avram was able to say, "Hey, Yitzchak, guess where we're going? We're going to Har HaMoriah." And the way Avram was able to do that is he tells his kid, "Hineni, I value you. I humble myself before you. I respect you. I know who you are. You're important to me." And when a kid feels that they're important to their father and mother, the kid could do anything.
I'm muted.
Beautiful, Rabbi Gladstein. Let's go to the next live question. Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you. So thank you so much. I understand this very well. This is really how I was brought up, like to be very comfortable with my parents. They like not demanding respect. At the same time, there are some kids that I find maybe need that, that authority. For example, like in the example of going to bed. So if you demand that the kid, if you say to a kid, "Go to bed," and then they say no, and then you say, "Oh, you need a few more minutes," and then you play with them or something like that. So that shows them that they could say no to a mother, as opposed to if we would say, "Go to bed," and they say no, then if we say, "Well, mommy said it's time to go to bed, so we're going to go to bed now," then it in a calm, it doesn't have to be loud, doesn't have to be a fight. It's just in a very matter-of-fact way of stating that I'm a mother and I said something and that's what we're going to do because that we listen to a mother. So then they learn kibud avim. When a mother says something, when a mother demands something, then it's a real thing. It's not something that we're going to say no to. And there are times maybe that if a mother says, you know, suggest something, so then it could be negotiated. But if it's a demand, go to bed, and the child's able to counteract that, then wouldn't that be like teaching them not to have kibud avim?
Okay, that's a good point. You're saying that if you allow them to, so to speak, negotiate with you, so then you're sending a message that the mother's word is not final. On the other hand, if you say, "This is what I say," you're also sending another message. If you say, this is what I said because I'm your mother," you're basically saying that because I'm in a position of authority, I am telling you what to do. And if one day, then, you're in a position of authority to someone else, then the message is, you know, the big guy says what to do, and the little guy has to listen against their will. So is that really kavod? What is kavod? Kavod is a appreciation and a value for the esteem of the parent. Kavod is not authoritarian command. That's not kavod. You're right. It's important that parents train their kids to have kavod. But what is kavod? Kavod is a recognition and appreciation for the esteem of the parent. So if a parent would say, Shefala, you had a very hard day. It's very important you go to sleep now because I want you to feel good in the morning. I want you to learn well in the morning. It's important for you to sleep because you'll have so much more fun tomorrow. You'll be much healthier. Who do you think a child will learn more esteem, have more esteem for? Someone who says, well, this is what mommy said. Or even matter of fact, this is what mommy said. We listen to parents. Or if a parent says, you know, you really need to go to sleep now because you had a hard time focusing yesterday in school. It's very important for your own health and for your own development to go to sleep. The child will learn to have more esteem if you give them an explanation, if you give it to that, if you give them a rationale, if you explain it to them in terms that they understand. The parent will see that you're a reasonable person. The child will see you're a reasonable person. The child will see you're a caring person. The child will see that you love them. That's called kavod. Kavod is not, this is what we do because I'm a mother. Is that kavod? Or is that just authority?
I hear. A mother could also say those things, but if they give in to, like to playing a game, for example, for a few minutes, so then that's like letting the child take over, meaning a parent could understand the child and explain to the, like say to the child how it's good for them also, but like while they're bringing them upstairs.
It's 8 o'clock. Their bedtime is 8 o'clock. If you tell them it's 8 o'clock, you have to go to sleep now, and they say no, and you say yes, you have to do it, and they go do it. But if you say, you know what, I'll give you a few more minutes, and then you'll go up, and they go up happily, are they taking over? Are you really giving in, or are you just being smart? Mm-hmm. I would argue you're not giving in. You're showing authority with wisdom. You're showing authority with understanding. That's true kavod.
Mm-hmm. Question is, what is 8:05? 8:10 if they say no again?
No, I just find that some kids do well with that, but some kids will just not, they'll know how to push the buttons and say the thing that will take your heart in to what they want.
Yeah, look, these kids are, they're trained. Believe me, I have a lot of little kids at home, and whatever I'm telling you, it's easy to say. It's, you know, lots of luck actually doing this, but I think the more we're able to engender real kavod is an appreciation and a recognition for the wisdom and the character and the patience of the parent.
So it's not that there are some kids that need a more authoritative parent and some kids need...
some kids need a little bit of a different concoction than another. Yes, every kid needs a little bit of a different finagling. And for some kids, what's a little bit better... What's a little bit more of one mix will work better for one and less for another. You know, it's not the same, one shoe fits all for every child. But in general, the general approach of kavod, the general approach of demanding is much more effective in the context of friendship.
Mm-hmm. I hear.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Let me just send in. What can I say? A few of my kids are not from anymore. I feel like I failed as a parent. What does Hashem want from me at this point?
Okay, so you know, that's one of the most difficult questions that anyone could have to address. I heard from an Adam Gadol who, when addressing such a question, you know, in general we say that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But that's when the weather outside is calm. That's when the winds aren't blowing. But when there's a hurricane outside, sometimes the apple could fall very far from the tree. The most important thing to recognize, and this is a very empowering and very profound yediyah, if I could share with you, you know, we wake up every morning, we say Moida Ani. Many are not aware. Who composed this tefillah, Moida Ani? It's not found in the Gemara. It's not found in any classic source. It was composed by a student of the Arizal, the Seder Hayom, Rav Moshe ben Machir. And he writes in his Sefer very powerful words. He says that there are neshamos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, and they come down to this world for whatever tikkun the Ribbono Shel Olam knows that these neshamos need. And Hashem does not just entrust them to any family, because not every family would know how to deal with such a child or how to embrace such a neshama. And Hashem specifically selects special people to give them such a neshama so that they could assist this neshama to achieve and attain the tikkun that that neshama needs to attain. And one can never give up on any child. One can never give up and think that they're hopeless, that they can't correct, that they can't come back, that they can't rectify themselves. And whatever state a child is in, even a child that's very distant, parents always has to try his best to continue to build bridges, to continue to develop a relationship with, to continue to daven for. Like we started off that, you know, the Yom Tov of Chanukah is coming, a very powerful moment during the year, during the entire year, is Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. Because Hadlakas Ner Chanukah is an opportune time to pray for one's children, really every parent has to use Hadlakas Ner Chanukah to pray for their children. I want to share with you something very powerful. You know, we all know that if somebody kills b'shoigeg, they have to run away to an arei miklat. You have to run away to a city of refuge. And the murderer has to basically stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. Which is very interesting. Like, what did the poor Kohen Gadol do wrong that the murderer has to stay in the city of refuge until the Kohen Gadol dies? So could you imagine? All these murderers, they were up on the roof, and they were, you know, banging with their axe, and the axe went flying, and they accidentally killed someone. They're all now in the city of refuge. And after davening every day, they gather together. Shira ma'alois mi ma'amakim. People say, what are you saying Tehillim for? Oh, we're just davening for someone to die. You're davening for someone to die? Who are you davening? Yeah, we're davening for the Kohen Gadol to drop dead. You know, every day they say three kapitlach of Tehillim, that the Kohen Gadol should drop dead. What did the Kohen Gadol do wrong that now, you know, all the murderers are they're all hoping for him to die? So the Gemara says, the Kohen Gadol should have prayed that under his reign, nobody killed b'shoigeg. And because he didn't daven, therefore he's punished that now people have to stay in the Ari Miklat until he dies. So Rav Volba asks, oh, wait a second, where exactly does it say in the Torah that it's the job of the Kohen Gadol to daven that nobody kills b'shoigeg? It says that somewhere? It says in Parshas Achrei Mois, it says in the Rambam, by the laws of the Kohen Gadol, that the job of the Kohen Gadol is, his job is to do the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash and also to pray that nobody kills b'shoigeg? Where does it say that? So Rav Volba says, must be, from here we learn, that anyone who is in a position of authority, their primary responsibility is to pray for the welfare and the success of those who they are responsible for. And therefore, says Rav Volba, it is the primary job of a parent and a grandparent and a great-grandparent. If you want to know what's your main job in this world, to daven for your children. Daven for your children doesn't mean you do it only by the Ner Chanukah. It doesn't mean you only do it Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It doesn't mean you only do it like the Mishnah Berurah says in Birchas HaTorah or in Ahava Rabbah. It means you're doing it all day long. All day long, it is the job of a parent to pray for their children. You're driving carpool. You're driving them to yeshiva. You're shopping in the store. You're taking them for shoes. It is your primary responsibility as a parent to pray for the physical, emotional, and spiritual welfare of your children. You know, the Brisker Rav would say that most parents, they rock the kids to sleep singing lullabies about, you know, some guy who climbed up a hill and then came rolling down and his head came off. No wonder kids have so much anxiety today. You know, they're traumatized by the nursery rhymes their parents sang to them. The Brisker Rav says when he put his kids to sleep, it was only with Tehillim. It was only with Tehillim. People used to come to the Brisker Rav for Eitzais, for Chinuch Habanim. The Brisker Rav says there are no Eitzais. There's only Tehillim and tears. Brisker Rav says never in his life did he daven one dry-eyed Shemayna Esrei. Every Shemayna Esrei he cried tears that his children should be God-fearing. And I'll tell you one more story. They came to the Stipler and they said, parents came to the Stipler, Stipler, what Eitzos do you have for Chinuch Habanim? Stipler said there are no Eitzos, there are no books, there are no classes, there are no podcasts, there are no YouTube channels. All there is Tehillim and tears. You see my little son Chaimel over here. Every day the Stipler says, I daven that Chaimel should be Yirei Shamayim. Chaimel was already 52 years old, one of the Gedolei Hadar. So the responsibility to daven for your children, it never starts too early, before they're born even. And it never ends. They could be great grandparents themselves. And if you're a parent and you have children, it is your primary job to pray for their success and their welfare. And that's a very key ingredient after all the various tachbulos that we mentioned, to always pray for our children. And especially if they're not right now on what we call the straight and the narrow, then the responsibility to pray is even greater. And never to give up on them. Vayimain. A parent refuses ever to give up on the child. It would have been easy for Yaakov Avinu to give up on Yosef. But he never gave up. And because he never gave up, Yosef was able to overcome every challenge in life. Every parent, doesn't matter where their child is, vayimain, has to refuse to ever give up on their child.
Beautiful, Rabbi Gatson. Okay, I forgot to mention, we're going to share, first of all, big mazel tov, Coach Menachem Bernfeld. Everybody should just know the mesiris nefesh over here for Coach Menachem. Coach Menachem now is in the middle of a vachnacht. He's making a bris for an anikol tomorrow morning.
Ah.
So we're going to go to closing. We're going to wrap it up. And Rabbi Daniel, we're going to ask to leave with a divrei bracha for all the people listening now and in the future. A bracha for Talmidim, for children, tzaddikim, sikonis. We could play for Zakenu if we had the audio. But let's go first to closing. So first of all, Grace Shkoyach for Daniel Glassman coming on tonight, giving tremendous physic. And really honing on one point of a sefer, just really the relationship with our children and what our focus as far as chinuch should be. And hopefully people could really, you know, internalize it. Could buy the sefer Rabbi Daniel. It's in all the Sfarim stores, right? You could buy it anywhere.
In the Sfarim stores, you could go to our site, rabbidg.com. It's available there.
Menachem, you have a picture of the book? Menachem has the book?
I'll send down the email.
I'll send down the email also.
You have the link on the,
What's it called, Menachem?
Zakenu L'Gadol.
Zakenu L'Gadol. Okay. So again, everybody's here the first time. Sunday night, 9:30, we have this beautiful Shiurim podcast, therapists, Gedolim, Rabbi Daniel. Next week, December 29th, we will not have a shiur. It's going to be Sunday Hanukkah. Enjoy your time with your family. Enjoy the latkes. Enjoy the donuts. Mitchum, the following Sunday, January 5th, 2025. Please join us. We're going to have Mitchum a very powerful program. Menachem will email all the details once it's all confirmed. So please, looking forward and enjoy your time off. Tonight's shiur is 214. And it's the Gematria Am Segula. And it's all recorded. Make sure you listen on the phone at 732-305-9011. Thank you to all the advertising sponsors, Lakewood Scoop, Elian Arrow, 510 Central, Chayla Kaufman from JCN. I'll go first, and Coach Menachem and Rabbi Daniel will leave it to you. So again, Rabbi Daniel Shkoyach, for coming on. I really appreciate everything.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Again, just want to say, you know, chinuch is a very tough topic. We had probably, I don't know, Menachem, maybe 50, maybe 100 out of the 214, basically touching on chinuch. Chinuch is one of those things that are just, everybody's looking for the magic answer, and it's complex, and we live in a complex time. Kids today are definitely more complicated it was years ago, the whole generation is. It's my opinion. I could be wrong. But I think what I'm understanding from Daniel, I might mess up the whole share, but what I'm understanding is that ultimately it's really the relationship that we have with our children of treating them with respect as human beings with their own concepts, their own ideas. So we have a little humility and, you know, I don't know if the word is anava on our part, but just like, you know, we can go further with them. And like maybe Rabbi Daniel can clarify, even the younger kids, even when we talk with them, it doesn't have to be with that authoritative, you know, strength. It could be more with a friendly strength. And obviously, there's no magic answer and there's no what to do when and like exactly how you shake the luluf. But the concept is there. I'm sure if you buy the book, maybe it's more clear in the clarity of how to implement it. I think as parents, we get very scared when it comes to our kids. I always say this so interestingly. When it comes to Yenim's kids, Rabbi Daniel, we know exactly what to say. It happened to me and my wife. I was in the pizza store a few months ago, and I see a few struggling kids. I went over to them. I bought them lunch. I had a drink. We had a good time. Like, we had just a good time. It was so nice. No judgment, huh? But if I see my kids in the pizza store during yeshiva, I'm going to start screaming at them. Like, what happened? So I think that we have to learn when it comes to our kids that we lose a certain clearness of mind, a certain sense of, like, you know, what we would do for Yenim. I think it's a very hard thing. So I think we get very judged. I think we judge ourselves very hard, but we have to remember that it's very hard to have a, there's a reason why Eidus, Pasala Eidus, right? If somebody's Negevedover, somebody's related, there's a reason why people take lawyers and to speak, because when you're Negevedover, you can't think clearly, and it's hard, and I think it's very hard for parents, so, which is my opinion, but it's, listen to the Shirim, read the books, and we should all be Zecha, but Rabbi Daniel said, I mean, after a lot of Shirim, I think Rabbi Elfin said at one of the end of his Shir, one of the things he was talking about, Chinuch also, he said, the one you saw is the only thing I can tell you at the end is daven, daven, and daven. Just with davening, day and night, Rabbi Glassstein said, by every moment you have for your kids, that's really the ultimate. And we said this many times by Keshe Nafshi, there is a saying that goes, it's very hard when you see, you know, other people that we live in a similar community and we give similar chinuch and we do the similar things, and you see some people that have these beautiful children that are just like, one after another, like you just look at them and you're like, wow, you know, top boys and top girls, and then your kids are just, you know, you did the same, basically within the same range, and they're all going through different things. So it's obviously a lot of tefillah that needs to go in. You need a lot of, you know, l'schus. And sometimes the schus is actually to have harder kids and to work harder on ourselves, to be mechanech these beautiful neshamas. So I give everybody a bracha that they should be zoicha to have a lot of nachum, older kids and grandkids. And Menachem, if you're einich loch, go coach Menachem.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you everyone for the warm brachas, and I should be zoicha. Everybody should be zoicha. Reb Daniel Shkoyach, and I do want to say, like we heard before, that yeah, the ladies out there, the mothers out there are doing a great job, and Hashem should give them koyach to continue. And obviously, when they hear these things, it can be hard. Like everything I'm doing, and now you're putting more on my head, it could be harder. But the concept, the idea is, what I would say is, it's a relationship. And it's not only with your kids, it's with your spouse. It's really to understand, to relate, to be able to be there for them so they feel that you're there for them, so you can talk if they have something to say. And yes, so eventually they can understand that you mean they're good to go to sleep. It's that's what a relationship is. And sometimes they like it, sometimes they don't. But they know that you have a healthy relationship, so... You know, and obviously to how to work it out step by step. So we'll have to go to courses, professionals, but that's, it boils down to that having a healthy relationship. And like we heard before, when it's our own kids, we're emotionally involved and the triggers, the buttons, and it gets hard and we lose it. And that's where we have to understand, okay, it's okay to lose it once in a while. But like we heard from Reb Daniel, kevei itim. We have to be kaveya itim with our kids. Run out to spend time with our kids every day. And that's a new concept. Like, I don't have time. How do I do this? They don't want it. Okay, but first understand, listen to these ideas. Hashem should help us all. Like we heard, tefillah, tefillah, tefillah. Hashem, please guide us, open our eyes, and amidst Hashem, we should be able to fulfill our tafkid, taking care of ourselves, our kids. Healthy way. Thank you.
Daniel.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Coach Menachem, Rav Asher. Thank you for the opportunity. And one thing we need to realize, we have ourselves, father, mother, but we have a third partner. And that's Ribbono Shel Olam. Every child has three partners. So when we daven, we need to say, hey, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're one of the shareholding partners over here. We need your help, not just because we need your help, but you're a third partner in this child, and this neshama, we're all in this together. So we need you to help us, not just because you're the Ribbono Shel Olam, and not only because you're our king, and not only because you're our father, and not only because you're our friend, but you are this child's partner the same way I am. Me and you, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're in it with us. You have the same invested interest in this neshama as I do. We're together with you. We're joined together with you and this child. So we daven to you, we pray to you that we want to see the nachas on this child for us and for you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam, you're not an outside party over here. We're in this together. That's a very powerful tefillah. It's a very powerful tefillah. When you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're my shutef over here. Please, us and you, help us out in our child. Help us out in our child. That kind of tefillah will reverberate throughout the universe. That kind of tefillah, Be'ez Hashem, lo yashuv reikam. So, Be'ez Hashem, in the schus of us coming together before Hanukkah, and for so many Yidden sharing ideas and sharing Torah about this important subject, may Hashem be mekabel all of our tefillos. We should all be zoiche. Banim ne banim, oiskim atar v'mitzvos, me'irim es ha'olam ba'torah v'masim tovim, and we should all see the nachas that we're hoping for, Be'ezus Hashem.
Amen.
Rabbi Goldstein, shkoyach Coach Menachem, mazel tov to you. And thank you, our Coach Menachem family over here. Everybody should have a wonderful Hanukkah. Enjoy time with family and friends. Don't eat too many donuts. Enjoy the latkes. Make sure we'll see everybody January 5th, 2025. Have a happy new year and all the best. Zagazel.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.